Welcome, 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 welcome to episode 104 of
Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig.
If you're a new listener to this award-winning podcast, welcome. With over 40 years of teaching English between us, we'll help you to improve your English and take it to the next level. My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And in this episode, we're going to speak about the top 10 things we think you should do when you go to London. So before we begin with that, Reza, I think we have some feedback.
Yes. First of all, we'd like to give a very special thanks to our friend Javier, who lives near Valencia, for giving us that lovely ham. That very special ham, Serrano ham from Salamanca, and the lovely sweet potato pastries. Sweet potato, I think, is boniato.
Yeah.
Sweet potato. Thank you very much, Javier.
Thanks, Javier.
Delicious.
It was lovely. Thank you very, very much. We know you're listening, and we just wanted to thank you on the podcast. And also, there's a congratulations to Elisa from Finland, who has won the prize for her message on our 100th episode. And Elisa, we've sent you a t-shirt. I sent it off the other day, so you should be getting that in the post. And congratulations, not only for your wonderful voice message, but also for your continued support on the blog, your comments, and your constant contact with us, giving us suggestions for other shows. So this week we'd like to speak about things you can do in London, because in June there's a conference in London. I think it's the, is it the 17th or 18th?
17th, 18th, 19th, round about then. It's 2 or 3 days long, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a couple of days long. It's a new media conference, but it's focusing on podcasting. And if you remember, we won the podcasting prize last year for best educational podcast. And this year I'm very happy because Razor's coming with me.
Yes, last year I couldn't make it and we won the prize. I was gutted. That means I was really disappointed.
And I accepted it on both of our behalf. And of course, we want to win the prize again this year. It's a little different this year. We are trying to get nominated for the category of audience
appreciation,
isn't it?
That's you listeners.
That's you. If you appreciate us and if you enjoy the podcast, the voting is on Facebook. So if you are on Facebook, if you use Facebook, we would love you to go to the Mansion Inglés Facebook page, which is La Mansión del Inglés. Just search La Mansión del Inglés and you'll find our page. And at the top of the page, there's a list of podcasts. It's maybe you need to click more options, but you'll see Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig and just click that podcast and you've nominated us for the award. And we will let you know if we get nominated. They're going to take the first 10 podcasts on the list and we will keep you informed and tell you how we're doing. Or just go to the Mansion Inglés Facebook page and you can see how we are compared to the other podcasts.
Craig, we'll put a link in the show notes to the Mansion Inglés Facebook page, won't we?
Yeah, so we'll do that too. We'll also put a link in the show notes of this episode, which you can find at inglespodcast.com/104. So what should you do when you go to London? Well, we've got 10 tips for you, 10 things that we suggest. Obviously, there are very famous landmarks. How do you say landmarks in Spanish? Cosas que hay que ver.
Yeah. Attracciones. Attracciones.
Like, for example, what are the famous landmarks in Paris?
The Eiffel Tower, the Notre Dame Cathedral.
La Louvre, the Mona Lisa. So in London, of course, there's Buckingham Palace, the Tower of London, Big Ben, the Houses of Parliament, etc. St. Paul's Cathedral. So we're going to speak about some maybe not so well-known things you could do in London. I'll give you 5 and then Reza will give you 5. So my first pick, my first choice is to take the bus tour. Now, most cities like Barcelona, many capital cities have hop-on, hop-off buses.
What does that mean, Craig, hop-on, hop-off?
I don't know the Spanish verb for hop. It means to jump with one foot.
Yeah, but that's not what it really means here, though, is it?
Subir y bajar rápidamente?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just hop on, hop off.
So you can get on and off as many times as you like, yeah?
Exactly. But be careful, because they start at 9 a.m. in the morning and they finish quite early. They finish at 5:30 p.m. in the summer and 4:30 p.m. in the winter. So you can't really use them in the evening. But during the day, if you start at 9 a.m., you can really see the city with these hop-on, hop-off buses. Have you ever been on one of these in London or in any other city?
Do you know, I haven't. I haven't. And I've been in many buses on my time, in my time, because...
You're the bus expert in Valencia.
I'm the bus expert, because I don't have a car here. But I've never been on a tourist bus, but I think it's a good idea to get to know a city. It's a really good idea. And of course, London buses are very distinctive. Why is that, Craig?
Well, they're red.
Yep.
And some of the more famous routes still use the old buses that are open at the back. And they have two people working on the buses, the driver and the conductor. The conductor is the man who takes your money and gives you a ticket. And they still have those buses running in the centre. I think the number 25 is that old style bus.
And the double decker as well. They've got two stories, two floors, the bottom and the top, which not everybody has. For example, in Spain, there aren't any buses like that. So Spanish people like to use those double-decker buses when they go to London. And the tourist buses are usually double-decker and open at the top. They're an open-top bus. So if it's a nice day, and who knows, it might be, you might be lucky. If it's a nice day, you can enjoy the weather with no roof over your head on the top deck.
Exactly, and you can see the city, because you can move around or travel around London by tube, by the underground, and I'll speak about that a bit later, but you don't really see anything. You don't see the sights, the streets, the people, the scenery. So I'd strongly recommend you take the bus, the hop-on, hop-off bus, on the first day, and then you can jump off or hop off at places of interest, because the bus stops at major tourist sites, the most popular places, and then you can start to plan the rest of your days. So the places you want to go back to, you can return to a different day. But the bus gives you a really good idea of most things that are in the city. So that's my first tip. So for one day on this bus, it will cost you €28, and that is the price as of May 2016. But there's a special ticket for €38, €10 more, that includes the boat. So you can have a bus and boat combination for €10 more, which I strongly recommend, because it's unusual to see a city from the river. So you could take a boat along the River Thames, you could go under the bridges, see the Tower of London, and see the scenery from the boat. Did you have that idea as well? That's your number seven. I've just killed one of your suggestions.
I just taken a pen there and put in an extra. Well, let's make it number two then.
Well, I mean, would you suggest the boat for the same reason?
Yes, I think it's just interesting to see a city from a river, because you get a special view that you don't normally get. And most old cities like London are centered around rivers. Rivers are the lifeblood, the beating heart of old cities very often. London's no exception. The river goes right through the middle and it leads out to the sea. So it's a really important arteria mm-hmm. for London. And it's nice to get on that on a barge, which is a name for a typical English long, narrow boat. Mm-hmm. It has to be long and narrow, because otherwise it wouldn't fit on the river. A nice way and a traditional way to go through the centre of London. A couple of hundred years ago, or 100 years ago, the River Thames would have been bustling. It would have been full of barges and all kinds of ships.
What does bustling mean?
very busy, lots of movement, lots of activity. It would have been bustling.
Full of life.
Yeah. These days, of course, people prefer cars and other forms of transport, and the plane has been invented. But the history of London is absolutely inseparable from the history of the river, the River Thames.
And did you know you could get that boat and bus combo ticket, the combination ticket?
No, I didn't know that.
I think that's a pretty good deal. I mean, yeah, it's €38, but that's a whole day, and you're really seeing the city not only from the roads on the bus, but also in the river from the boat. So that's suggestion number one, take the tour bus. And I'll put a link to the website that I got this information from in the show notes, and there will be links for everything we speak about. Number two, have lunch in a London pub. Now, many people go to London and they look for restaurants, and although English food hasn't got a fantastic reputation, I think, obviously, for eating, I don't know if you agree, Reza, but some of the best restaurants in London are restaurants serving foreign food. Yes. Italian, Indian, Chinese, Japanese food, Greek food from other countries. Would you say so?
Yeah, yeah. So what do you do if you want to have some authentic English food? Maybe a best option is pub grub. Eat in a pub. Pub grub. G-R-U-B. Grub is colloquial for food.
Exactly.
That would be a more traditional, authentic London thing to do. It could be something simple, like fish and chips. People have that in the pub. Or it could be fried food. Or it could be scampi. Scampi and chips. Scampi is kind of like battered little bits of fish. What other food is typical pub grub?
There's steak and kidney pie, shepherd's pie.
Ooh, what's shepherd's pie?
Shepherd's pie is one of my favorite English dishes, and the only one I can cook reasonably well. It's a lamb with onions, and there's a gravy. You could put some peas or other vegetables in there, or carrots. And there's mashed potato on top. And the secret is to put a little cheese and butter in the mashed potato and make it nice and creamy and tasty.
Does it go well with a pint of ale, a pint of traditional English beer?
It does. It's fantastic. Yeah. And one of the questions, though, is where do you go? I mean, there are around 7,000 pubs in the greater London area. So London is huge, and there's a pub pretty much on every corner. So I found a pretty good list that I've linked to in the show notes at a website called The Daily Meal. That's not the newspaper, The Daily Mail. That's The Daily Meal, meal.com. There's a link in the show notes. And they have the 10 best London pub food. So there's a guide, and you can go and try and taste some of the best recommended pubs for food, especially on a Sunday, because it's a tradition in the UK to have a Sunday roast, and it's very good value for money. Pub food is not too expensive, and you can have a good pint of beer. Try the real ale, as Reza suggested, but remember to pay for the drinks at the bar. It's not like Spain or other countries where you pay as you leave when you finish drinking. It's a custom in the UK to order your drink at the bar. They don't usually come to the table, and you pay for the drinks when they give them to you. Is it customary to tip the bar staff? I'd say no. I never used to.
No, we don't tend to tip the bar staff in the UK. However, from time to time, people say, have one for yourself. Which means instead of a tip, I invite you, the barman or woman, to have a drink and charge me for it.
Yeah, so you'd ask for the drinks, you'd say 2 pints of lager, pint of ale, an orange juice, and one for yourself. Or you'd buy the barman a drink, yeah. And remember to buy rounds. If you're with British people, it's very common to buy everybody a drink. And then the next person will buy another round. So the next person buys the round. So you don't usually pay separately if you're going to be in the pub for a while.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm smiling as Craig says that because...
It's not a custom here.
It's not a custom in most parts of Spain that we know of. in Spain, you can you pay for yourself, or you can occasionally invite someone to a drink, but they're not necessarily going to buy you one in return. It's not expected. But as Craig explained, in Britain, it is expected, more or less, that if there's a group of people and one person buys a drink for the group, that then it sooner or later will be your turn and you're going to have to buy a drink for the group. It looks really bad if you accept a drink or two or maybe three in a group and then go without buying one. It looks really, really bad.
That's happened. That's
people
happened
will
to
talk
me.
About you behind your back.
Yeah, that's happened to me in Spain a few times. I'm sure it's happened to you.
Oh, you've left, or people have left on you?
No, people have left on me. I've offered to buy drinks, so three or four rounds, and then the people go.
Yes, it has happened. Yeah, but we probably shouldn't have felt disappointed because they didn't know that it's
right.
not the Spanish.
It's
custom.
It's not a custom here, so
why should they? But if you go to Britain, well, then do it the British way. When in Rome, they say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So that's what the British do. So that's what you should do if you drink with the British in London.
And when you're in London or when you're in the UK, try the real ale, the bitter, the real ale, A-L-E. And obviously in Ireland, the Guinness. That's tip number two. Have lunch in a London pub. Tip number three. Not a very common one. It's not up there with Buckingham Palace or the Houses of Parliament or Big Ben, but have a picnic in the park, particularly Hyde Park. That's H-Y-D-E. Now, Hyde Park is quite big. It's not far from Buckingham Palace, and the nearest tube station, the nearest underground station, is Hyde Park Corner. And while you're having a picnic in the park, obviously only if it's sunny, you can also visit Buckingham Palace, which is close, and you can go actually inside the palace and see the state rooms, which I didn't know. You can go. Is that what? Have I taken another one of your tips? Sorry. I'm sorry. What?
Yes, they do logically go together, because isn't Buckingham Palace is right beside Hyde Park, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on, well, Hyde Park's quite big, but one of the stops is right near Buckingham Palace, so it just makes sense to go to the park and go to the palace, because most people go to Buckingham Palace and then go somewhere else. Why not go into the park if it's sunny, go to a sandwich bar or Marks and Spencer's or a supermarket, buy a couple of sandwiches and a bag of crisps, and just eat in the park and enjoy the sunshine, watch the people. The parks are beautiful, especially in the summer and the spring when the flowers are blooming. It's a really, really relaxing, nice place to be. And there are lots of green areas in London. There's a list on the webpage for this episode. Yeah, Hyde Park is a quite a big park. So Hyde Park Corner is the closest to Buckingham Palace, but you can also get to Hyde Park from other tube or underground stations. There's Knightsbridge on the Piccadilly line, that's the blue one. Queensway on the Central line, that's the red one. Lancaster Gate on the Central line, and Marble Arch on the Central line, which is where we're going to be. Reza, we're going to be near Marble Arch station.
Whenever we go to the podcast, UK Podcasters event in June.
Yeah.
It's in Marble Arch.
It's in near Marble Arch Station, so we'll be very near Hyde Park, which is famous for Speaker's Corner.
Shall we go in and have a picnic in the middle of our...
if we get time, I'd love to, if it's sunny weather. What do you know about Speaker's Corner?
Is it traditionally where anybody who wants to can speak, giving their opinion about politics or social changes, that type of thing?
That's exactly it, and that's all I know. It's a place where anybody can go and stand on a soap box, which is like a box that raises you a bit higher and where you can speak from. So the expression to get on a soap box means that you're preaching something or you're trying to convince someone or saying very strong opinions. If I said, oh, Razor's on his soapbox, that means he's saying something that he thinks is very important.
And I often am, by the way. I do get on my soapbox a lot.
So I think it's Sunday morning. I'm pretty sure if you go to Hyde Park Speaker's Corner Sunday morning, you'll see people speaking about religion and politics and all sorts of things. It's quite funny. And there's a lake in Hyde Park called the Serpentine, which has ducks and some swans and birds. And it's a very nice place to have your picnic or take a boat. You can rent a boat and row around the Serpentine if it's nice weather. Another suggestion for parks, there's Green Park near Green Park Tube Station, very near the Ritz. So you can go to the park and then you can have tea at the Ritz if you can afford it. There's St. James's Park.
What is the Ritz?
Most
Spanish people don't know what it is.
It's a very, very famous, expensive hotel. It's a 5-star hotel. Famous people stay there. It's got a long history. So, yeah, you could have tea at the Ritz. There's St. James's Park, near St. James's Park Tube or Westminster Tube, which apparently is the prettiest park, although I don't think I've ever been. It's quite near the Houses of Parliament and Big Ben. So if you go to see that tourist attraction, have a look at St. James's Park as well, if it's sunny. Next door to Hyde Park, there's Kensington Gardens, which is near High Street Kensington Tube Station, which is a lovely shopping area. I definitely recommend looking around the Kensington area. Some great pubs there as well. And then, of course...
Will those pubs be cheap in Kensington?
I don't think any pubs are cheap these days in the UK. I'm not sure how much you pay for a pint of beer, but I think it's probably about £4.50.
Yeah,
which is maybe €6, €6.50. So it's not going to be cheap. Don't expect to go into pubs and
but
have
you
a
do
few
get
beers.
A pint, a big beer.
You do,
a
yeah.
Pint of beer.
And you can get a half pint, which half is pint. Not too expensive. But London is an expensive city, and I'm recommending parks because they're free.
Yeah.
So obviously you've got to get your sandwiches, you've got to get your drinks, but you can get those in a supermarket. Just go sit in the park. Another famous park, which is famous for roses and landscaping, is Regent's Park. What's landscaping? That's the way you cultivate the gardens, the way you plant the flowers, isn't it? It's the way you present green areas.
Yep.
And Regent's Park is famous for being Henry VIII's hunting grounds, where Henry VIII used to hunt his animals.
Ah, is that why it's called Regent's Park? Was he either a regent, like a leader, a prince, or a king, or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So obviously no hunting there now, but it's still a very, very pretty park with landscaped gardens and flowers. And that's near Baker Street Station or Great Portland Street Tube. All of this information will be in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/104. So that's tip number 3, have a picnic in Hyde Park. Tip number 4, the London Eye. Have you been on that, seen it? When was the last time you were in London?
About 5 years ago. 5 years ago, yes. I was visiting my brother and his family because I have an older brother who lives in London.
Which part of London do they live in?
Near Sydenham Forest Hill, that area.
That's in the suburbs, yeah? That's not in the centre.
Yeah, it's in the suburbs, yeah.
And when you visit your brother, do you have any time to do any touristy things or go into the centre and sightsee?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the only reason I went. But unfortunately, I was only there for a day or two. And I did some of the things you suggested. I had a pub grub lunch. I visited Hyde Park. I saw the Serpentine. But I haven't been in the London Eye. I haven't been on that yet. It's like a big wheel, isn't it?
It's huge. Yeah, I think it's one of the biggest in the world, I think. And I went on it once a few years ago. There is a lovely view from the top, because it goes around very slowly, so there's lots of time to take pictures. And when the wheel gets to the top, you've got a really nice view of the city the Houses of Parliament, Westminster Bridge are very close by. You can see St. Paul's Cathedral. It's on the south bank because London obviously is divided by a river, the River Thames. So most of the tourist attractions are north of the Thames. Most of the time, if you're a sightseer, you'll be visiting the north bank of the Thames. But the London Eye, you have to cross the bridge. The nearest bridge is Westminster Bridge, and you go to the south bank, which is really, really nice now. It used to be, wasn't much to see. It was a bit run down, which means cutre, a bit sort of dirty and not very cared for. But now the south bank is really, really nice. There's a walkway. There's the Tate Gallery, and it's very, very pretty. So while you're, if you go to the London Eye, then make sure you walk around a little along the Thames, walk along the south bank, because it's very nice. It's a very nice walk, and that's free as well. The London Eye costs £28, or you could buy different combo tickets to combine the London Eye with various museums or other attractions. But book in advance, because the mistake that we made when we went was we tried to buy a ticket on the day. There was a huge queue because it was in summer, it was full of tourists. Go to the website, londoneye.com, and book your ticket in advance. Obviously, that's a gamble for the weather. Maybe it's raining, maybe the visibility isn't good, but I still recommend it because the queues are horrendous. The queues are very, very long. The closest tube is Waterloo Station near Westminster Bridge, and it's open from 10 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. So you can also see London at night with all the lights. Tip number 5, and my final tip, Covent Garden. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
My dad used to work there years ago. He used to work in Covent Garden Market back in the 50s.
And the market doing what?
Well, in the old days, when my family lived in the East End of London, the Covent Garden Market was a fruit and vegetable market. Just a typical market like any city has, selling food. And he used to be a porter. He used to carry fruit and vegetables to and from the river, from the lorries and trucks to the various vendors or sellers in the market. But of course, now when you go to Covent Garden, they've modernized it. There is a market there, but it sells more clothes and antiques and that kind of thing. It's not a food market anymore. It used to sell fish and meat as well. But it's a lovely place to go because there are lovely tourist shops. If you like the opera, there's the Covent Garden Opera right there. They usually have street entertainers and buskers. What's a busker?
Busker, I don't know the Spanish word. Someone who plays music in the street. What is that? Is there a word for that?
I don't think there is one in Spanish. Alguien que toca en la calle para dinero. Yeah, a busker.
Sure.
So the verb is to busk. The person is a busker. And there are lots of buskers and street entertainers around the Covent Garden. And it's just a lovely atmosphere. And it's also mostly covered. So you can go there if it's raining. It's open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, 9 till 8 on Saturday, and midday till 6 on Sunday, and it's free. And there are also some very nice pubs. And one thing I'd recommend, depending on your schedule, if you go to Covent Garden, try to go around 5 or 6 o'clock. Any idea why, Reza?
To avoid the rush hour?
No.
Oh, why?
There's lots of offices around there, and there's lots of pubs and outside terraces, and on especially in the summer, loads of people go there after work for an after work drink. So people finish work, they go there, and there's this buzz, there's this atmosphere of after work drinkers from round about 5:30, 6 until about 8:30, 8, and then they go home for dinner. But especially on Friday, that's when it's liveliest. But also during the week, it's a lovely place to go late afternoon and get that atmosphere, have a beer and just watch people. Just do like people watching. I love it. It's really good. So that's the Covent Garden, Covent Garden Market. The nearest tube station is Covent Garden. And another good reason to go there is that it's very close. It's 5 minutes walk from Leicester Square and Soho. Now, Leicester Square is where the theatre district is. It's also very close to Chinatown. So you could go to Covent Garden and then in the evening, after you've had your beers, go to see a film or a play in Leicester Square, walk around Soho. There's a lovely atmosphere in Soho. And you can spend the whole evening in that area. It's a lovely area to be in after dark.
We'd just like to pause for a minute and tell you about our sponsor, iTalki. iTalki is an internet-based company where you can get in touch with teachers of English, or any language in fact, and learn via one-to-one lessons through Skype. So you don't need any fancy equipment except a computer and to have a Skype account. Why would you do that? Well, there are several advantages to using iTalki. It's very effective because you do exactly what you need to do with your one-to-one teacher. You don't have to do what the class wants. It's one-to-one. The teachers are all native. They're very international people. Many of them are polyglots. They speak more than one language. And you can check their profile to see what experience and qualifications they've got and choose your own teacher. And they all charge different prices according to their experience and what they're offering. But perhaps the most important thing of all is it's very personal and customized. It's very human. There's a human connection. It's just you and your teacher. There's several reasons why Craig and I think that if you're looking for some one-to-one tuition, iTalki is a great website. And there's a special offer for inglespodcast.com listeners. If you follow our link,
go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki.
Yep. If you follow our link to inglespodcast.com/iTalki and you sign up there, iTalki will give you 100 free credits, and those credits convert into money. So pretty much that will pay for a lesson for you as your introduction to iTalki. See if you like it, then carry on. It's as simple as that. We'd like to thank iTalki for sponsoring our podcast.
So Reza, I think you have a couple of tips and suggestions for first-time visitors or repeat visitors to London.
A couple, because I'll be honest and say that I don't know London that well. It's something that I've still got to do on my bucket list before I die. Your bucket list is things you really should do before you die.
Maybe I have some time in this trip in June to see a couple of places that's on your list.
I'm planning to do that when we go over to the New Media Podcasters Award to do a few things. For example, a place where I've never been, but I think that you and me should go, listeners, is the British Museum. I've heard it's a marvelous place. I don't spend a lot of time in museums, but if they're really good museums, I think it's worth going.
Especially if it's raining.
Exactly, yeah. And the British Museum is said to be one of the best in the world. It's huge. It has a vast collection from all over the world of interesting objects or artifacts. Not only from Britain, but from around the world, from all the continents, probably because of the British Empire and the fact that
we stole everything from other countries.
Well, some people do put it like that, in fact. Some people do.
Come and yes. See everything we've stolen from all around the world.
Like, where did we get those ancient Egyptian artifacts? Yes. Let's not talk too much about that. Let's just go and enjoy the artifacts.
Yes, but there is a huge collection there. I remember going as a child with my dad a couple of times, and it's really impossible to see everything in a day. You can spend a full day there. You probably need a week to see everything.
No problem. It's free.
It's free.
That's why I recommend it. I wouldn't recommend really paying much to go to any museum. But since it's free, go every day and see a little section. You could do the Egyptian section one day, the British section another day, and something else the next day, for example. It won't cost you any money.
And check the website, because sometimes they do have guest exhibitions, don't they? They have special visiting artifacts and visiting exhibitions from all over the world. So it's always a good idea to just check and see what attractions they have in the week that you're going.
Another thing you could do is go on a literary tour. Literary, connected to literature. London is a city with many connections to famous books or writers. For example, who hasn't heard of Sherlock Holmes and his faithful companion, Dr. Watson? Sherlock Holmes supposedly lived in Baker Street. In fact, he didn't really exist. But Baker Street really does exist. There is a Baker Street in London, and that's where the fictitious character Sherlock Holmes is said to have lived.
Is it connected to the song by Jerry Rafferty? Winding the way down on Baker Street?
I don't know. It might be.
Maybe it is.
If there's a connection with Sherlock Holmes.
No idea. No idea. It just occurred to me now.
I know the song, but it might be, yeah. Hmm. So there's that. Or what about a writer? Charles Dickens. He spent a lot of his time in London, and he wrote about important social changes, about poverty, about the distinction between rich and poor, and the trends of the day, and the politics of the day. And he's one of the most important writers in the English language. There are companies, we'll put a link or two in on the show notes. There are companies who arrange literary tours, so they'll take you. You don't have to think about it. They'll just take you to the venues which are mentioned either in books, such as the Sherlock Holmes books, or places where the actual writers, like, for example, Charles Dickens lived, or where they got their inspiration from. So a literary tour, good way to get to know the city. You'll be taken to lots of different neighborhoods. So that's a good idea. We'll put the links into the show notes of a few companies that do that type of thing.
And if you know of any walking tours that are free, walking tours of London, please let us know, because that's something I didn't find on the internet. So let us know, drop us an email or a voice message, and I'll add that to the show notes, places that you can walk around and do walking tours. And one thing I forgot to mention, I must say, about the bus tour is that it is in different languages. So if you're a Spanish speaker, or Finnish or Brazilian speaker, then you will have a tour in your language. But of course, Reza and I suggest that you try to understand the English you're there. Practice as much as possible.
I've only really got one other tip, and it's a tip from my mum. My parents, when they visited London, and they used to go every couple of years, was to visit a museum called the Horniman Museum. Not that many people know about it.
Now, Horniman's make tea, don't they?
They know tea. They're quite well known for that Horniman's tea. It's sold all over the world. In fact, you can buy it in Spain. You can buy it in probably North and South America as well. But not many people know that the family decided a long time ago, I think in the 19th century, at the end of the 19th century, to open a museum. And it's been open ever since. And in that museum, you can see strange and interesting, perhaps you might even say quirky, that means a little bit weird, quirky things from all around the world. And things connected to tea, yes, but also other things which have no connection to tea whatsoever. Costumes, strange objects and exhibitions. And it's in a beautiful setting surrounded by gardens in what I think used to be the Horniman's family property. And it's free. That's a bit out of the centre in London. The reason I mention that is because my parents went there because it's near where my brother lives, the one I told you about, kind of in Sydenham, Forest Hill. It's that area. So if you fancy getting out of the centre a little bit but going somewhere interesting, try the Horniman Museum. We'll put the link in the show notes to tell you all about it.
Did you ask your mum then for recommendation for London, and she said that?
Well, I didn't need to ask her. She's always going on about it. Anytime I'm even thinking of going near London, she's like, "Oh, go to the Horniman Museum. Go to the Horniman Museum. You'll really like it."
And speaking of getting around the city, moving around the city, as Reza said, maybe you want to leave the center. The thing I suggest, and the thing I always do when I travel, is to walk. I think walking is the best way if you have the time and the legs to do it, then I suggest just walking around the city, getting the atmosphere from the streets and really getting to know the city by walking. However, London's quite big. It has a really, really good tube or underground system. And they have a card that's called an Oyster card, O-Y-S-T-E-R, that usually works out cheaper or ends up being cheaper than other tickets or travel cards. So the Oyster card will cost you £5 to buy, which you can get the money back when you leave London. It's refundable. And then you put money on the card. So you could start off with £20, for example, or £30. And then every time you use it, the money gets deducted from the card. It's very easy to use. It's the cheapest way, usually, to travel around the city. And it's also usable on not only the underground and the tube, but also on different railway systems in the suburbs. There's the Docklands Railway Line, the DLR. There's the Thames Clippers River Bus Service, so you can use a river bus with this ticket. And there's a special tourist Oyster card that costs £3, but that's not refundable. But they have special offers for tourists, reduced entrance into sites and museums and galleries and special promotions. So have a look. It might be a good idea to pay the £3 and get the tourist card. Another option is to get a travel card, because London Underground is divided into zones. So there's central zone, and then there's zone 1, zone 2, zone 3, zone 4 as you go out from the centre of the city. So depending on what zones you need to travel in, obviously, the more zones you cross, the more expensive the ticket. So if you do get a travel card, make sure you travel after 9:30. It's cheaper, because before 9:30, people are going to work, the tickets are more expensive. I'll link to this and all the other things in the show notes, along with two website recommendations for places to visit in London. One is Time Out London, and the second is TripAdvisor, where you can find information about London. And if you remember, I did an interview with Bea Ramirez, who has a website called DestinoReinoUnido.com. And if you want to listen to that interview or go to her website, I will link to that also in the show notes. Bea has a lot of experience. She lives in the UK, and there is a lot of information on her website, not only about travelling around London and the UK, but also about extended stays, studying and living in the UK.
Can I ask you a question, Craig?
Sure.
When you think of London, and you were born in London or near London, would you say?
South of the river, a place called Twickenham.
Would you call it London or just outside London?
Just outside.
Just fairly near London.
Fairly near, yeah. But my parents were like really, really born in the East End of London, grew up there, went to school there, were bombed there during the war. Okay. So they're Londoners. So, and I was born just outside.
So Craig's from just outside London. His parents are Londoners. So if I asked you, when you think of London, what nationality do you think of?
I think of a melting pot, which is a mixture of different nationalities. Every area has its distinctive kind of food and smell and atmosphere. I don't think it's any one particular nationality. For example, my parents, when they moved from the centre of London, the area of London they lived in was a very Jewish area, because a lot of Jewish immigrants moved there after the Second World War. It's the area, it's the East End, the area around Bethnal Green, Stepney, Mile End, Petticoat Lane Market, which is another great place to go on a Sunday morning, Petticoat Lane Market, around that Mile End, East Bethnal Green area. And so it was very Jewish, because after the Second World War, a lot of Jewish immigration came from Germany and Eastern Europe. Now, it's more Asian and Pakistani, Bangladesh, Indian, West Indian, Jamaican. So it's changed over time.
One of the few places I've been in London was the East, I think it's the East End, well, of course it's the East End, East Ham, Is that the East End?
Yeah, that's where my sister used to live before she came to Spain.
East End. And I can tell you, I'm not sure how many Jewish people were there, but I needed to ask for directions, and it was quite hard to find someone who spoke English at the beginning. I'm not joking. Or good English.
Yeah.
Quite a few Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Indians. Then I got somebody, I thought, well, lots of these people, their English isn't very good. It's not because I'm racist, but let's get somebody with fairer skin. I stopped the guy with fairer skin who was Polish, who
didn't speak English.
He didn't speak great English, but I finally got somebody who I think was German, and his English wasn't that bad, and he was able to give me directions.
It's very cosmopolitan, London. It's very cosmopolitan, and I love it for that. And that area that you suggested, East Ham, West Ham, Plaistow, that area is a great area for a good curry.
Yes.
Some really good food.
There was a street full of nothing but curry
fantastic
houses.
Fantastic food in that area. If you like it spicy, if you like spicy food.
And we're recording this, by the way, about less than a week. We're recording this about 5 days after the mayor of London has just changed, by the way. They had elections in London last week.
Who's the mayor now? It used to be Boris.
Sadiq Khan.
Okay.
You didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
We should really say that because for the first time, London now has a Pakistani-British mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But 5 days ago, it changed. So Boris Johnson, who is of Russian descent, by the way, but we think of him
but very as British English. Because his dad is a politician from the Conservative Party.
So he has just retired or left, and the new candidate from his political party lost, and the other party has won. They have elections to choose the mayor of London, and it's a Pakistani-British person. His name's Sadiq Khan. Doesn't sound that British, bit like Reza Shah, really, but he is British. And I guess that best reflects what London's all about. Mm-hmm. It's a multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious city. So, by the way, tips, go and see London. Great, great English experience. But if you want to see a quintessential, that means a
typical
old-fashioned English place, don't go to London. Go to London because it's an amazing cosmopolitan city. It's the capital of England, and there are many interesting English things to see. But if you want an extremely English experience, go somewhere else.
Go to a village or maybe Cambridge or Oxford.
Cambridge, Oxford. London is for a multicultural experience.
Absolutely. Now it's your turn to practice your English. If you have a question for us or maybe an idea for a future episode, please get in touch. Send us a voice message and tell us what you think. You can reach us at speakpipe.com/Inglespodcast. And if you'd like to practice your speaking, have you been to London? What was it like? Did you have a positive or a negative experience? Were Londoners friendly? Tell us what happened to you. And also, if you have a comment or question that you'd like to send by email, you can reach me at craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or me, Reza, at belfastreza@gmail.com. Yes, and remember that we would like to give you more detailed show notes, but for the moment we can't because we haven't got the time and we haven't got the money. But we're hoping to raise the money through Patreon. And we'd like to thank the sponsors that we have on Patreon already. That's Lara, Zara, Mamin, Juan, Sarah, Corey, Raphael, Daniel, and Manuel, whose names are in our show notes. They're people who sponsor us via Patreon, and we hope to get enough money to be able to pay someone to transcribe every single word we say. If we get enough money for that, we need about $100 a month, then that's what we'll do. But in the meantime, thank you to those Patreon sponsors that we've got. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, you can go to www.patreon.com/Inglespodcast and donate whatever you like.
On next week's episode, we'll be speaking about the London accent. A question from one of our listeners, and also Cockney rhyming slang. If you don't know what that is, listen to next week's episode and you'll find out. Until then, it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.